Fifth chapter of Matthew. I'm going to read but one verse, and it's the last verse in the chapter. It says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That's quite a challenge. Amen. And what we're going to do is I'm going to start a series on a successful Christian life. And the first one we're going to start with is finding balance in the Christian life. I believe that balance is one of the key words to the Christian life. Finding balance is so, so important. And I'm going to go back a little bit. I remember when, of course, I was saved in 1966. In 1970, God called me to preach. And I want to tell you, I had trouble finding balance. Let me explain a little bit to you about that. I was called to preach. I was basically taught through, not that someone just came to me and taught me, but through messages I would hear and articles I would read and everything. I was taught that when you're called to preach, you just give everything to God, everything completely to God. You give yourself to God. You go, you do God's work, and that's what you do. Everything else goes by the wayside. Now, that's basically what I was taught. Now, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just simply saying that's kind of what was put in me. I was a young Christian. I was 4 years old as a Christian, called to preach, and I had a whole lot of learning to do. And what happened was I then was called to preach. Well, what do you do? Well, I needed to go to school. I drove back and forth to Indianapolis two nights a week IBC, Indiana Baptist College up there, Ford Porter's College. I drove two nights a week, did that for approximately 3 years. I was a husband. I needed to be a husband to my wife. I was a father. We had four children. And I needed to be a father to my children. I was a provider. My wife did not work. I did not want her to work. And I had to provide for my family. So I worked a full-time job, still working at Anaconda Aluminum Company full-time. I soon after that, in fact, before I started a school, I took a pastorate down here in this area, Providence Baptist Church. I was pastoring a church, trying to get messages ready. Always three messages, sometimes four messages ready. Now, all of that was given me. I had to also visit people. All that was given me, and I said to myself, now at that time I didn't understand balance. I didn't understand that. I never taught that I need to get balance in my Christian life and all of this. But I had a whole lot of trouble trying to balance all of that out. I was constantly on the go. And because of that, my family did not always receive what they needed to receive. And I was later on, I learned that when you give yourself to the Lord, you find balance in all areas of your life. And that's what you do. You don't leave any of them out, but you find balance. And so what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to try to help you to understand balance in the Christian life. It is very, very, very important. If you don't get it, you may not have all the things that I had at that time, but you still have enough. You need balance. You need to balance out your Christian life. Tina, is she not here this morning? She with, I'm trying to look for it. I'm not, oh, no, she's teaching. I'm sorry. She's teaching. I forget. I got her teaching. But anyway, that was the thing. Tina, and she won't mind me saying this to you, because Tina, a few years back when she was teaching in school, before she married Bud Bowenshin, she was constantly going for the church. Now, she did bus visitation. She went and run her bus routes, and she was always doing something. She was teaching at that time for the kids and in Sunday school, and she was going doing Sunday school things, and she was doing school things, and she was just constantly constantly going. And I set her down one day, and I said, Tina, and here's exactly what I said to her, get a life. And she just kind of, what do you mean, Pastor? And I said, Tina, for crying out loud, you're never going to get married or you're never going to have a family if you don't get a life. And she wasn't doing anything wrong. She just didn't understand balance. And Tina is the kind of a person that you know her, she just goes at it. Right? You know her. And that's okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But there has to be balance. And after she got balance, she got a husband. And got a little girl, didn't he, bud? Now, I'm not saying it was all because I said get balanced, but I think it helped. What I'm saying is you have to realize there's things in life you have to balance out. You can't go one way with everything. You've got to balance the Christian life out. And that's what I want to help you with today, and maybe it'll be a blessing to you. But in this verse of Scripture, let us say, first of all, God told us to be perfect. Now, it'll help us to understand that, I think, if we understand what the word perfect means. It means maturity. We are to come to a mature Christian life. It's the desire of God that everyone mature. Okay, so we don't want to say, well, you know, I just forget the Christian life. I just forget you're doing this and doing that. No. You find balance. You mature in the Christian life. Now, let me share something with you. When I was a little boy, and I think probably everybody in here can look back and remember a time when they learned to ride a bicycle. Can everybody? I see smiles coming on their faces. Well, I want to tell you how I learned to ride a bicycle. I was just a little fellow, and there was six of us boys, and I was the youngest. And I want to tell you how I learned to ride a bike. We lived out in the country. Dad got up in the morning and went to work. He got up and left at 5 o'clock in the morning. He got home at about 5:30 because he lived in an area, worked in Indianapolis, so he did not have a lot of time to teach me. So my brothers took on the joyous job of teaching me how to ride a bicycle. Now here's how they taught me. They put me on the seat, give me a shove, said, ride it. There was this little slope out from our house, and it kind of went down a driveway. And, of course, you know where I ended up. I ended up on the ground. And wasn't long, they said, well, let's help you again. Same thing. And that's how I learned to ride a bicycle. And my brothers joyously helped me. It was a joy to them. And so anyway, finally, I learned how, after weaving around and trying to get it going right, I learned how to ride a bicycle. Many of you have taught your children how to ride a bicycle. That's why I taught mine the same way that I learned. But anyway, you just, you learn. But you know, after a while, you get pretty good at it. You learn how to keep it straight. You know what you're doing. And that's the way the Christian life is. It's kind of rocky sometimes when you first get started. It's a little difficult. You don't know exactly how to balance yourself. Amen? And even sometimes now, you know, in the Christian life, there's times when you'll hit a bump. You might even, although you're a good bicycle rider, you might have a wreck. But the old adage is, you get up and you get it on again and you go. That's kind of the way the Christian life is. When it first starts, it's a little rocky. It's a little bumpy. Because you don't understand what's expected of you. You don't know what to do. And after a bit, you begin to mature. That's what God is saying in his word here is, I want you to be perfect. I want you to be mature. And I could add to that word, I want you to be balanced. Because it's so important that you balance your Christian life. So important. Now, what we're going to do is look a couple areas where balance is needed. Now, first of all, I want you to know that balance is needed in family relationships. Let me make a couple statements. I've seen a lot in my lifetime. I've been preaching now for 32 years. I certainly do not know it all, but I do know some. And I've witnessed a lot of things. What I want you to do is remember something. It's very, very important that husbands and wives in their relationship with each other have the right kind of relationship with their children. It's very, very important you keep a balanced relationship. We see, Brother Ross, what do you mean? Well, I mean that you must remember that children will grow up and leave the nest. A period of approximately 18 years, we're going to use that. They are going to be basically gone. And the relationship that you have with a husband and wife relationship is the lasting relationship. And you must see to it that that relationship is nurtured and cared for and just simply made better down through the years. Now, I'm saying this kindly because here's what happens. A lot of times a lady will have a baby. And she is so taken up by the care of that baby. And it's natural. That's difficult. That's hard. You know, because here she is. She's never had a baby before. She's got a new child. She's got a child. And it's exciting to her. But a lot of times, if you don't be careful, your whole life will be taken up with the baby. And you'll forget that your main relationship must be with the husband. And sometimes ladies simply give themselves completely and wholly over to that baby and forget that there's a daddy involved and a husband involved. Okay? Now I'm just saying these things, okay? Just take them in. I'm not saying you did this. I'm saying if you don't be very careful, it's so easy to do. So you've got to remember, and I think it'd be good if we turned over there to Matthew. We're in Matthew 19th chapter. Just let me turn over there real quick, and I'll read a couple of verses of Scripture to you. 19, verses 4. In verse 4, chapter 19, Matthew, says, "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." If you'll notice, and you've read that verse of Scripture many, many times, you'll notice that God has done a supernatural work when he put a husband and a wife together. It's a supernatural work. You can't even basically explain it because he says they become one. And what God has joined together, he says, not let man put asunder. Now, I'm going to try to balance this because I believe in balance. That's what I'm teaching. But I want you to know something. When he said not let man put asunder, that means not let children put asunder also. Because children can do it, not trying, because children want attention. They deserve attention. They should have attention, but it ought to be balanced. You got to remember that you are responsible. Yes, you are responsible for training and teaching your children and giving them much time and devotion. You must do that as parents. It's a necessity. Because if you don't, they won't come out right. Okay? But in the midst of it, you cannot forget that you have a husband and that you have a wife. Understand? You must keep that relationship sweet. You've got to. You've got to work on it constantly. Statistics tell us that one of the greatest divorce rates is when children, the last child, leaves the home. That happens all the time, folks. The last child leaves the home. The parent, maybe the wife, or maybe even the husband, but has been so taken up with the raising of the children, they forgot each other. And so here comes this last child to leave the home, and all at once they look at each other and don't even know each other. No, not really. And why? Because they have not built a relationship and kept that relationship sweet and good while the children was at the home. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is, balance your relationship with your children. Everybody loves their children. No one here, you care about your children. You really do. I know you do. But balance it and keep your relationship with your partner correct and balanced. Understand? Because listen, folks, you know it. I mean, you've heard me say it before. They do grow up. They do leave the home. All four of Don and I's did. And you know what? They should. It's exactly what they should do. Because that's God's plan. You see. But that also leaves Donna and I now together. And we've got to have the right kind of relationship for that to go the way it should go. Okay? So I'm just simply saying to you, balance your relationship with your children. Keep it balanced. Amen. Love them. Yes, love them. But folks, and we'll talk about that. But you love them, but you remember something. You're not going to, after a bit, be their head. Because when that son takes up and takes a wife, he is the head, and you no longer are the boss. No longer are you the boss. No way. He is. Is that right? Sure it is. So what happens is, and I'll just try to show you here, kind of taking it into the next step. There is a relationship also that can kill us in a marriage. I'm going to give you three that can do that. But let me say to you, the relationship that we have with our parents after we get married is very, very, very important. Okay, that we balance that relationship. Okay, now there's three things in a marriage. I'm going to give you experience, 32 years of it. I'm going to tell you one of the main things. Now I want you to listen to me because I'm just giving it to you. I don't know where you're at, but I want to tell you one of the main things that causes problems in a marriage is this: money, finances. Is killing marriages all over this country. Now what I'm saying, do you hear your pastor preach on it? He's not just getting up here just lamb-blasting you, trying to say you ought to do this, you ought to do that. I'm saying to you, if you want right relationships in your family, because you need to get your finances corrected and straight, because it puts a pressure on marriage that is unbelievable. I was there. I'm going to tell you all about it, but I was there. I can testify to it that when I came home, my wife was about ready to go through the roof because there was these little envelopes that had these windows in them. And there was people calling on the phone, and she was the one who happened to answer it. Now, I'm telling you, pressure is great in finances. If you relieve, think about it right now in your own self, and I don't know where you're at, okay? But just think about it. If you had a situation where your finances was absolutely good, you didn't have to worry about anything in finances, you didn't owe past what you could afford to do, and every time the bill come, you just sat down, wrote it out, and sent it off. A light bill comes, you just wrote it out. I mean, however you do it, you want to tell me that does not relieve pressure? You know it does. So what I'm saying to you, I'm giving you 32 years of experience. Okay? Get your money matters straightened out, and it'll help your marriage tremendously. Because there's an underlying thing there. It's a pressure that just eats at you. You're not trying to be bad. It's there. Okay? So get your finances straightened out. Keep your finances right, and it'll help you in your marriage. Okay? The second thing is the physical relationship in a marriage. That's number two. 32 years of experience. You must keep that sweet. You must absolutely keep that sweet and ongoing, and don't use it as a tool to get back at the other one. I'm just being honest. Do you hear me? Okay? You've got to work that out in your marriage. Every couple has to work that out in their marriage. And it should be worked out together so that both will be satisfied and pleased with the relationship that they have. Okay? And you can work that out. Okay? It's the way it ought to be. Every family ought to work that out. But make it sweet, make it good, make it tender, make it loving. Understand? Okay? I'm just trying to help you. Because if you don't, there's going to be consequences for that. Okay? I'm just saying. You know, 32 years of experience. I've sat in too many families. I've sat in too many situations. I understand. I know what I'm talking about. So you make it sweet and keep it sweet. You remember that person that you married is that precious person that God has given you. No, God gave him, him and her to you. And they're very special. And I remember when you first got married. You do. You remember when you first got married and how sweet and precious they were to each other. And after a bit, sometimes you grow apart. You ought not to grow apart. You ought to grow together. Always keep that relationship very sweet. Okay? The third thing is in-laws. Instead of outlaws, in-laws. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you some principles on this because this is what I want to talk about. A lot of times we condemn our in-laws. And sometimes we in-laws can deserve it. We have to handle things correctly. As an in-law, Don and I had to learn this. It's a hard thing to learn. Here you are, been over those children. You've been telling them what to do for 18 some odd years, and all at once, no longer can you tell them what to do. They got their own life. And well, they should. That's proper. Sometimes it's harder on the in-laws than it is on them. See, because we see them making mistakes. Same mistakes, dumb mistakes we made. Amen? And we don't want them to make their mistakes. And we look at them and say, you dummies, don't do this. But you know what? They're going to make some mistakes. They're not always going to do like we think we do because, or we ought to do, because you know what? We've been through all of that. And we can look back and say, yeah, you oughtn't to do that, but they haven't been through all of it. Now let me say, before I get into this, it is good and right to take counsel from your parents. It's good and right to listen and then make your decision what you're going to do, but never feel that you have to do exactly what your parents say because they are not the boss. Right? Is that right? No. The head of the family now, if you have a family, the head of the family is the man. And he is the man. He's the head of the family, according to the Bible, not according to Brother Ross. The Bible says he is the head of the wife. He is to lead. And boy, what great responsibility that has. Oh, you say, yeah, I'm going to be the big shot. Oh, don't ever think like that. Think, no, I've got to lead my family, and I'm responsible to God Almighty for leading my family. Oh, I've got to do it right. I've got to do it proper. Amen? So I'm saying to you, there's some things there. The Bible says that we are to leave, a man is to leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Now the reason he said to the man was because it's the man that has to leave. The woman has already left when she agreed to be his wife. She's already left and said, honey, you now are my leadership. The man is told to leave and to cleave to his wife. Brother Jack, would you come over in just a minute, right up here? Just down on this side, just for a moment. Stop there. I hate doing this, and hate being representative here that I'm the wife. Dad, he's still the dad, he's precious, he's good. If you don't do that, what you're going to be going, you're going to be going back to Dad all the time and giving your loyalty and honor to him when it must be to that husband. Amen? Now, again, remember something. Does that mean, Brother Ross, that I'm just to look at my dad with disdain and not care? Of course not. There's too many things in the Scriptures that tells us how we're to treat our parents. We're to love them, to appreciate them. But they no longer are the boss. When that dear girl gets married, she has a new head. Amen? That's just the way it is. And when that man, that young boy, gets married, he has started a new lineage. He now has a family. And the relationships, what happens is a lot of times the relationships cause problems in the marriage because of the relationships with the parents. And a lot of times it's the parents' fault because they're always trying to tell somebody what to do. And you can't do that. You can give counsel. You can help them. But no longer are you the head. And you know, I give counsel to my children from time. A lot of times they'll ask me for counsel. And I give counsel, but I don't walk away from her thinking, well, he better do what I said. I don't even feel that way. God's taught me better than that. You know, but I want to give counsel. I want to help if I can be a help, and you do too. But remember, it's a new lineage. And that wife must cleave to her husband. Amen? And take the direction her husband leads the family. Amen? So what happens is, a lot of times, and I'm saying to you folks, 32 years, I've seen it. And too many times, the parents will not let go, or the child will not let go. Listen, you got to remember something. You have such a oneness that God has put us into with each other. You got to remember something. That's a precious thing that, as I said, I can't even explain it. We've become one flesh. I mean, I know I could say a lot of things about that, but it's a supernatural thing God does. And you and I have got to understand that's precious to God, and it's absolutely necessary for us to do exactly what he says, or there'll be problems. You can't run back to your parents all the time griping, complaining about your husband or about your wife. You can't do that. Work out your problems. When you go and gripe and complain about each other, that puts, and this is true, you just listen to me, that puts disrespect for that partner in your parents' eyes. You know why? We don't think that that person she or he married will ever be good enough for him. I mean, inside we figure if we hear something negative about the partner, then it's probably right. And a lot of times we never ever hear what that other partner is doing and how he or she could make marriage a lot better. So what I'm saying to you folks is be loyal to one another. Care. You need counsel. Sometimes it's okay to have counsel, but make sure that's what you're getting is counsel and not just going and telling. If you're getting counsel, it's okay if you really want that, and that way it'll stay right there. But what I'm just simply saying, please, please, be loyal to one another. Okay? And remember, God has put you together, you see. What needs to be done is there's a balance. And as I said, there's a balance there that needs to be taken care of, proper kind of balance. And when that happens, the husband or the wife will basically turn to the wife or the husband and have honor for that one. They'll be the one they look to. They'll be the one they depend upon. They'll be the one they'll be loyal to. Why? Because God has put you together. Understand? Now, I'm trying to help you, because if you'll balance this out, you'll find out your marriage will be much, much sweeter. It'll just help you, okay? Now, also, friendships. Got a lot to say and don't have a lot of time to say to you. Friendships. Friendships is another thing that you've got to be careful with, okay? Over in 2 Samuel, the 13th chapter, don't turn there, but in the third verse, we find Ammon had a friend who used his influence to encourage Amnon to rape his sister Tamar. That's what a friend did. Friend will help you and challenge you to be better for God. And you've got to check out your friendships. And let me even say this. It's not that you ever want to turn from family and say, no, I can't, you know, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm not saying that. But if there is relatives that is hurting your relationship with your wife or your husband, well, you're going to have to separate from that to the degree that you do not allow that influence in your life. And you have to judge those things out. You have to check those things out. Because I want to tell you right now, you are in a situation where you can be just hurt, terribly hurt, by what's going on in your marriage because of friends that you have. Now listen, friends are going to do one or two things to you. They're going to help you in your relationship with God, or they're going to help you to walk away from God. One or the other. And you have to understand it's so important. You see, you run with the right crowd. You run with those who love God. I'll guarantee you something. They'll help you be a better Christian just by their friendships. Are they perfect? Of course not. But they love God. They'll talk about God. They'll have God in their life, and they'll be a blessing to you. But I want to tell you something. If you run with a gossip, it won't be long you'll be a gossip. If you run with a critic, it won't be long you'll be a critic. Now, it does matter who you run with, who your friends are, who you spend your time. It matters, folks. And you need to get a balance in that. Because I'll guarantee you right now, it depends a lot on who you are going to spend your time with. And you need to do that in your families. It isn't that you look at these other people and condemn them and say, well, you know, I don't want anything to do. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying you withdraw from close relationship with those who are not helping you. If they're a hindrance to you, you need to draw from close relationships with them. Amen? And get the right kind of people, be around the right kind of people that'll help you to be better for God. Real quickly, also in our walk with God, family versus church. Real quickly, I've got to do this quickly. See, backsliders sometimes has done the injustice of telling people you can't handle family life and church life at the same time. Oh yes, you can, because God's word says you're supposed to. And we are to keep that balanced also. We're to keep our family life and our church life balanced. Can a person get in a church and spend too much time in church work? Absolutely. And a lot of times, let me tell you why they do it. They do it because they have problems at home and they don't want to be home. So they find solace there in the church. So they go and spend a whole lot of time in a church. Can you be overdue? Yes, you absolutely can. But what does God say? God says balance it all out. Do we quit family life because we have work for the church? No. Do we forget church life because we have family life? No. You've got to balance it all out. You've got to keep it balanced. It is right and proper for you to be servants of God, isn't it? Isn't it right for you to do things for the house of God? Isn't it right? When the pastor calls and says, you know, I need help, man. Come on, I need help. Help me get these things straight. Now, isn't it right for you to respond and do that? How often, let me ask you this, how often does this pastor schedule a lot of extra stuff? I leave you unscheduled on purpose. There is churches that keep their people scheduled all the time. I don't do that. I don't have a desire to. You know why? I want you to have family life. But I want you also to be balanced and have church life. And that's where you have to balance it all out. Amen? And keep it balanced. Because if you don't, there again, you'll have problems. Amen? So just remember, the Lord created the church as a perfect balance in the family life. The church is a blessing to help you raise your children and encourage your family and be a blessing to your family, as I'm trying to do here this morning. The church is for that. So you can't kick it out the door and say, I don't need church. Oh, no, 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 you need church. But you need family life too. And remember this, I try to give you plenty of time. Honestly, I do. I don't schedule a lot of extras. You just look at the schedule. I don't schedule a lot of extra things for you. But at the same time, then you have to choose what you're going to do with your extra time. Are you then going to spend time with your family? Are you going to take that extra time and spend time with your family? That's what you should do. Do the things that you have to do? Sure. That's what you're supposed to do. Amen? So you need balance. And I'm going to give it real quick. I promise you. Prayer is important, right? Bible reading is important. Absolutely. But I want to tell you something right now. You can Bible read all your life, and if you don't apply the knowledge that you get, it's worthless. Absolutely worthless. Why are you storing up knowledge and you're not going to use it? Should you get knowledge? Oh, sure you should. But what good is it if you don't do something with it? Amen? Prayer is the same way. A lot of times we pray, we want to do the talk and never listen to God. Listen, prayer is a two-way street there. We're supposed to not only talk to God, we're to listen to Him. Amen? And prayer is good, but let me tell you the third. Soul winning is mandatory. Boy, it got quiet. Yeah, you can pray, you can read your Bible, but you're not going to do anything with it. You're not going to try to win people to Christ. Why in the world are you a Christian? What's your job? What's your purpose? What's it all about? Why learn if you're not going to use it? Balance. You don't have to be out there every day knocking on doors and winning souls. You don't have to do that. No, balance, balance, balance. But should you do it? Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. Understand? I got to quit. But anyway, hopefully that'll be a little bit of help. Learn balance in your Christian life. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and kindness. And Lord, just help us to be balanced Christians. Help us to see the areas we need to change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.